here in the readings about the yoke of slavery and not to submit to the yoke of slavery. And there is another, of course, the yoke of slavery would be sin, all right? The slavery to sin. And one of the themes in the reading is freedom. And how that comes to us actually is not by being yoked to nothing and no one, but by being yoked to Christ. And of course, yoked meaning like as two oxen are yoked next to each other to pull a load or to drive a plow. That we're called to be yoked to Christ. As human beings, it's not even in we don't even have the ability to be completely untethered to anyone or to anything. We will always serve something and someone. And so Jesus is inviting us not to submit to the yoke of slavery to sin, not to serve worldliness, because that's, well, slavery, but to be yoked to himself. And what does Jesus say in Scripture about his yoke? It's easy, which also means what? Light. It also means that it fits well. His yoke is easy. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and find and heavy burdened. Come unto me and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And when we're burdened down by the world, which is a natural tendency for us if we don't kind of act against it and think against it, when we're burdened down by the world, it's because we're taking on this yoke where we're driving this plow. We're carrying this load. We're serving these things, worldly things, that aren't really what God wants us to serve. And this is the difficult thing, is to know, well, what is a burden that comes from God? What's a yoke that comes from God? And what's a yoke that doesn't? Where am I working? Where in your life are you working and toiling for something that is going to be fruitless? And it's difficult sometimes to know, well, is this or that thing really what God wants me to do? I've done a lot better recently myself about asking God, is this something that you're asking me to do? How do you want me to spend my time? How do you want me to spend my time? I've got a million opinions just on my own about how I should spend my time. There are other people that have other opinions about how I should spend my time. But I don't know how you want me to spend my time. So if I'm doing something and I haven't even consulted the Lord, I might be taking on a yoke. I might be driving a plow. I might be carrying a load that he's not even asking me to carry. He might be saying, not your problem, but I want you to carry this with me. Now, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's two reasons why the yoke of Christ is easy, why it fits well. Number one, why is it light? Because that other, if you think of a team of two oxen, in that analogy, if you're one of the oxen, the other one is Jesus, which is pretty great. And in another analogy, the other one could be your spouse. But then it would be at least three. And yes, sometimes, one of the oxen will fall over, not knowing which way to go, will turn the wrong way. I was told this by a farmer recently, and that he had this oxen that it would fall over sometimes, and the other one would just keep driving along, dragging the ox. You know, the other one, I didn't know that was possible, but that's how they are. They just keep going. They just keep powering through. Sounds like an American, right? We just keep plowing through and working. That's not all bad, but it's not, it's only going to be fruitful if it's what the Lord is giving us to do. So the Lord is inviting us to be yoked to him, and that's why it's light, because he's next to us. And in fact, apparently that the ox that would keep going when the other one fell down made it a little bit easier for the other one to get up. I don't know, that was what it seemed like, was because they were moving, it was a little bit easier to get up and get his bearings and go the right way again. The second reason why his yoke is easy and his burden is light is because it easy in the sense that it fits well. It's been crafted specifically for you. And so in the same conversation, this farmer told me that the yoke that he carved out a yoke for this, for each ox individually, hand carved it, which for some of you is like really obvious. You're like, duh, Father. For me, this was kind of mind-blowing. You hand-carved the yoke for the oxen, one when he was younger and then one was when he was older, so that it fit well and it didn't like chafe and he was able to drive it well. That's how the Lord fashions the work that he has for us, the load that he has for us. Because there are burdens that we're supposed to bear. Scripture says, bear one another's burdens. There is work for us to do. It's not that freedom means, oh, I don't have to do anything, I can be an individualist. That's not what it means. What it means is that we have the joy, and it is true freedom in choosing to serve the Lord and choosing to drive alongside next to him and trusting that the yoke that we've received from him does fit well. It was fashioned specifically for you. It's not always comfortable. There are times where you think, if that's really true, then how come marriage is so difficult? Or how come teenagers are so, or my parents are so difficult? Or there are times where it seems that way, but in truth, the Lord has specifically fashioned work for you to do with him for his kingdom. That brings joy. It's life-giving. It's not this burdensome, toilsome, all the time, I guess there's moments of toil, but it's not this burdensome, life-sucking thing that leaves us empty. And so sometimes we believe falsely that if we take the yoke of Christ, it's going to be just always burdensome and always toil and always difficult. He's inviting us to have more faith in him than that. And I know that some of you are struggling with this. Or maybe just with the yoke of the world. There's a sense in which many of us, many of you, have taken on the yoke of the world and other people's expectations, or maybe your own expectations for yourself that God doesn't want you to have. And you're toiling under that slavery, toiling under that yoke, but it's kind of driving at a worldly goal that's not going to be really about God's kingdom. Maybe it's about house, money. One of the things about following Jesus, which we see here, is that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What does that mean? What that means is that this is not his home. And anyone who follows Jesus lives here on this earth as though we're passing through to our ultimate home. And if we try to make this place our home, we end up trying to accumulate possessions and accumulate home or homes or stuff. Too much stuff. And often we're driving at that. Or worldly success as a thing in itself. And we try to accumulate this and we're plowing really hard and we're carrying that load, but it's fruitless toil because it's not really our home here. We're passing through and we should be using all of our possessions and all of our time in as the Lord is asking us to do what matters for eternity. And everything that we do that doesn't matter for eternity just becomes fruitless ultimately. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head because this is not his home. Neither is it anyone's home who follows Jesus. So that puts in perspective why the yoke of Christ is so light, because it has purpose. I suppose that's the third reason why it's so light. I thought I only had two, but I have three. That's why it's light, because you realize this is actually significant. It actually matters. And I know that some of you are struggling with the yoke of the world and taking on some heaviness of the world, because during the Gloria, I looked up. I don't usually do that. I just close my eyes and I'm trying to worship God. Or I look back at the Station of the Cross where Jesus is crucified. I looked up, though, and a lot of you weren't singing at all. And I'm not judging you. But I think the Lord wants to ask you, or for you to ask him, what's going on there? Which yoke are you taking on yourself? when we come to worship the Lord, when we do worship the Lord, when we come here, and I know it's not always easy to come to church on Sunday and actually worship God, but when we actually do that, just worshiping Him, the act of worship helps us to take off the yoke of slavery. Right now, you're not making any money. You're not doing anything that will make you any money. In fact, you're about to give money. And that very act, you're saying, I am not a slave to work. This is me pulling off the yoke. I'm not a slave to the world. I am not a slave to making money. I am not a slave to being successful. I am not a slave to... That is not what I was made for. And yes, we will work. And yes, we will make money. And yes, that's necessary and good. And hopefully we'll enjoy it a little bit this time of year. But we're saying, I'm taking off this yoke of slavery to constantly being yoked to the world. And I am putting on the sweet yoke of harmony with the Lord as I worship Him and say, like, glory, may you be glorified, Lord, because you are worthy. What you've done for me, what you've won for me, all that you've given me in eternity, and even now, I want to worship you. Taking on that yoke is freedom. It is freedom. And when we're able to worship, when we actually do worship, it is an act that in and of itself sets us free from all of these other anxieties and concerns and helps us to really, really offer ourselves to the Lord, again, in freedom. The Lord has made us to worship Him. That's maybe the number one reason why we exist, Baltimore Catechism time. To know, love, and serve Him in this life and be happy with Him forever in the next. That really centers around worship. I invite you to ask the Lord, or He wants to ask you, what's going on in your heart when it's difficult to worship, or right now. And do you trust Him that His yoke is easy and His burden is light? And will you offer yourself in worship to Him today at Mass?